Now, let's join Lee Stark. He's the man that we talk to each and every Sunday morning when we do our tech segment. And I thought he would be the ideal person to talk to this morning about what happened yesterday afternoon from about 3 o'clock. So Lee has joined me on the phone this morning. Good morning, Lee.
Good morning, mate.
Thank you for your time. I imagine you've been probably very busy speaking to all sorts of people and writing articles since 3 o'clock yesterday afternoon. So let's start from the top. 3 o'clock yesterday afternoon, what happened, Lee?
We initially thought it was a problem with Microsoft servers. There was actually a problem with Microsoft Azure systems. They're basically the systems that run all of Microsoft's important hardware, things like Office, things like Microsoft 365, Xbox, all the fun stuff. And it did actually have a problem over in Midwest America. It shut down some airlines, but that wasn't the same thing that was happening. We had to actually look deeper into it and find out what was actually causing all these interesting blue screens of death. So blue screen of death, by the way, is an old term that used to describe when Microsoft's Windows fails, it puts up a blue screen. The blue screen has changed over the years, but it's still the same blue. It basically means something has gone wrong, it needs to be fixed, log into safe mode, do what you can and try and restart the computer. It's effectively a way of saying something's wrong. It's usually memory or a driver. But everyone was getting it. It wasn't just people who fiddle around with their computers. It was happening all the world over. All you had to do was basically turn on your computer or bring it up from standby, and it was overturning a blue screen of death, which is never a good thing because nobody understands how to do these things at the best of times, let alone everyone else. So bit of investigation found it was a security mechanism that is baked into not every version of Windows, but a lot of them. It tends to come with manufacturers. So Dell, for instance, sometimes uses CrowdStrike sensors in, you know, basically software in their computers. A lot of organizations do. CrowdStrike's technology effectively is a form of security monitoring. So what it aims to do is block and prevent potential malware and security problems before they actually happen. In this instance, what had happened was somebody had loaded, but we've later found out, a bit of a dodgy patch or a dodgy security file, and it in turn got into everyone's computer and basically caused everyone's computers to fail all at once.
Did this not happen months ago, or was it last year, time travel so quickly, when Optus did a similar thing?
Optus's one was different, largely because it was network dependent. That took out the network, yes. This is larger because it took out computers on a worldwide scale. I mean, we saw it in Australia first, and so Australian New Zealanders saw it because we're all finishing up work that day. It also affected computers overseas. So overnight, while we're all sleeping, weirdly, people in Europe and America got affected. And what people didn't realize, even though the patch was technically rolling out, CrowdStrike did issue a patch and a fix for this around 7 or 8 p.m. last night. Those computers that were connected overseas were connected while people were sleeping. Devices go on standby. They'll still download drivers if they're connected or if they've got battery life. And so a lot of people woke up and found their computers weren't working anymore because they'd already downloaded the dodgy patch in the first place.
So if you hadn't downloaded the dodgy patch, the computer wasn't affected. I'll give you an example. I noticed some footage that I saw last night on the news, the self-serve checkouts. A lot of them had the blue screen of death, but there were the odd self-service checkout that was still operating. Is that because that particular unit had not been updated with this faulty patch?
Yeah, that's effectively what it was. In fact, people in the security sphere were basically saying that if you had managed to not actually connect and download that patch, you would have been completely fine. And once the actual new patch went online, if that was you and you downloaded the new patch, again, you were totally fine. But so many computers were connected and downloaded the dodgy file that so many computers were taken out of action. As you said, it wasn't just workstations for regular people. It was terminals at supermarkets. It's hospitals. It's triple O. It's airports. It's everything. I know someone who got stuck in Melbourne, plenty of people who couldn't get out on planes because all the systems were reliant on Windows and they were taken out.
Now, the government obviously want all of us, as in commentators, to make it very clear that it was nothing sinister. Nothing sinister, because that was the first thought. I mean, yesterday they were talking about, if we remember, Y2K, the start of the millennium, what was going to happen to computers, everything was going to break down, my God, what are we going to do? But they talked yesterday about what happened in Y2K was nothing, it all proceeded without any glitches. Yesterday was what many thought would happen with Y2K.
Yeah, you're not wrong. I mean, Y2K was prevented largely because a lot of people went to work and developed solutions to software's problems with the extra digits. So that's one side of things. But yes, this was similar to what many expected. And it's a huge problem. It wasn't cyber security because it was just a dodgy patch, but it showed an example of what could happen if our networks are actually broken down, if somebody did manage to find a way to break on a global scale Windows, which is, or even any operating system, it doesn't matter, because CrowdStrike can be found on other systems, as I said, it's not just Windows, but the reality is if someone found a way to do this on a global scale and it was a cybersecurity incident, it would be catastrophic.
How many countries were affected?
I haven't actually tabulated the amount yet, but we know it affected worldwide. Effectively, if you were online or your computer was online around 3 p.m. last time, even if you were asleep, you probably received a patch. If your computer had completely shut down or maybe was suffering Wi-Fi issues and just not connected to network, you were probably safe. But keep in mind, it's not every Windows computer. Many Windows computers have CrowdStrike installed. My understanding is it's somewhere in around 170 million devices that technically have it, but that doesn't mean every computer has it.
So, will home computers, or were home computers affected by this?
Some were, yes, because CrowdStrike can be installed from manufacturers. A lot of the devices that people were talking about are from companies, obviously. So if you work for a company and it's maintained by an IT team or has a fleet behind it, you were probably affected because CrowdStrike is often relied on that in that example. But that being said, there are manufacturers that install CrowdStrike as part of how they bake into Windows. I noted on some services, Dell was a good example of one that might have used it in certain places. So some home users may have received this, absolutely.
I see. I read this morning that airports in India were actually physically handwriting boarding tickets because that was the only thing they could do. We saw last night on the news services there were people lined up everywhere in airports. Airports seem to have been, is it fair in saying airports were really affected?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, their systems run on networks in terms of trying to coordinate people, and even in trying to find more tickets for other people, more flights. So if they're using Windows at the gate, they can't even use it at that point. They would have been completely locked out. And weirdly, and I've said this a couple times on radio this morning, actually, that if you wanted to fix it at home, it's probably much easier for you to fix it at home than it is for the people at airports or even large organizations, because some of these computers are locked in loops, and some of these computers don't even have keyboards or mice attached to them. A perfect example, again, is your Woolies supermarket, where the terminal is basically locked out of normal user interfaces like a keyboard and mouse. So just like an airport, just like a supermarket, they need actual tech teams to come around and manually fix this, whereas people at home can actually have a more direct guide. It still might involve getting their hands dirty, but it's probably easier than what they're going to deal with in tech teams around the world.
Well, I was reading last night that there were, if you like, articles on websites like Reddit for people that had worked out how to fix it. So they were giving blow-by-blow descriptions as to how you could go on and fix it yourself.
I mean, that's all true. You can definitely do these things, and CrowdStrike issued a similar procedure. The problem is Reddit's ones and CrowdStrike's are both written in tech babble, which is fine for people like myself who know how to read it and also know what things like safe mode are, but most people don't. And there's a feeling of apprehension in the people I've spoken to that fixing a fault like this is very daunting, because it almost feels like you have to break your computer to do so. You're not, but if you've never actually gone into software like safe mode, which is a part of Windows with pretty much all the bells and whistles turned off, it can still feel like you're kind of breaking your computer in the process.
So CrowdStrike have issued, released this patch that over the next 24 hours should bring things back to normal.
Well, theoretically, yes. The problem with deploying the fix, and they've deployed the fix, which is great, but fixing your computer, hopefully the idea is that you can restart your computer, and in that time between it restarts and doesn't try to load that driver, hopefully it downloads the new driver. That's the theory. It may not work that way for everyone, simply because your computer might still try to load the old dodgy driver before it gets to load the new one. So even though that fix is out there, that Reddit solution that you're talking about actually may be the way most people have to go and fix their computer. Microsoft is still working on a potential solution. It's not Microsoft's problem to fix, but the bigger problem is that because this is so baked into Windows, this blue screen of death, getting around it typically means doing what tech people have done back in the old days, which is log into safe mode, remove the driver manually, and then restart Windows, which does seem to be the thing that works.
We know how it happened. We know what happened. But how did it get to this stage? I mean, the people that are putting this software update together, surely they test it before they send it out worldwide. Obviously not.
Well, that's supposed to happen. I mean, there are some interesting rules. Clearly, the work experience kid's not going to have a good day today. So there's that side of things. But the other side, which is important to know, is that there's a general rule in the tech community, especially the server maintenance community, which is don't upload these sorts of patches on a Friday. It's kind of like saying the Shakespeare theater, the Shakespeare name that shall not be mentioned. You do not do these things on Fridays. There are certain things you don't do because if they fail, someone's going to have to pay for it and deal with it on a weekend, and that's exactly what's happening. In terms of testing, it should have been more rigorously tested. It's surprising that it actually cascaded in the way that it did without the rigorous testing these sorts of patches normally receive. So it is incredibly surprising that this has rolled out the way it has. I think the concerning part from my point of view isn't that it actually affected everything worldwide. That is dire. It's more that fixing it is now really complex for a lot of people. As I said before, if yours doesn't reset, like if you restart your computer and it doesn't manage to fix itself automatically, you have to go and do something that many in the tech community would argue is complex for most users. Safe mode is not there for most users. It's not a beginner-friendly mode. So this sort of approach now, we're having to teach people with this information that is probably out of reach for a lot of people and daunting as all hell, to be honest.
I tell you what, for those that aren't in the world of computers because they just are of the age where they don't need to or they didn't want to, I suppose it means nothing. For those of us involved in everyday computers, they affect our lives every single day. When something like this happens, it just shows us how much we rely on our computers and how much we rely on the internet to live our lives these days. And when there's a problem, we panic.
Yeah, it is that way, but hopefully we learn something from this. My actual hope is that Windows or Microsoft has a better way of checking whether drivers are actually legitimately working. I would like in this instance, and I'm really surprised this driver caused Windows to fail in this way, to be honest. It's security, but it should have, at one point I feel like Microsoft should have gone, it's not that necessary to make the actual system work. It should have been overridden. So it feels like while CrowdStrike is the problem here, Microsoft needs to come together and find a way to say, this isn't necessary long term. Maybe we can come up with, even whether it's AI-powered, some sort of mechanism to say, hey, the system can still work without this. I feel that's where we need to go from here.
Okay. Thanks for making yourself available on a Saturday morning. We really appreciate it. And putting it in layman's terms, you're good at that. So thank you, Lee. And we'll do our usual regular tech segment. We'll talk to you again tomorrow morning, okay?
Talk to you again tomorrow, mate.
Thanks, mate. See ya. There you go. That's Lee Stark, our tech guy. He answered all our questions. We now know why it happened, how it happened, and how to fix it. It's going to be fixed. If it's not fixed already, it's on its way to being fixed. But the big problem is it actually happened in the first instance. That's the big problem, isn't it?